lust. Gladly handing filthiness for the righteousness. Dismissing that eternal gift that was priceless. Just cause we were enemies, yeah. What was evident was not the gravity pulling me down, just like gravity low enough to humble me so I could see that it was see-through. Forgave my sins, no longer doomed, bottom saved my friends. This is the peace with God that I have. He rearranged my path, yeah. That was destined for wrath. So now this race I can run, because I am believing in Jesus Christ the Son. Peace is trusting in what His blood has done, and in Romans 8, 1 and Him tells you so you don't condemn. I'm walking in redemption and reconciliation, and peace is no more guilt or shame. I'm justified through faith in Jesus' name.
Sheila and amen, Run for Christ Ministries and amen, all the different saints and friends, new and old, I say praise the Lord. You know, we started something different today, and we're talking about, amen, the power of speaking. And it's the area, you know, I seek God about what to say. I don't just make up stuff, come up with stuff, you know. Anyway, and that's what he chose. Amen. And it's amazing how when you have talked about an issue before, and yet God gives you another whole direction, and that's because he's omniscient. And really, you could take any issue, any situation. Like we just finished the Holy Spirit of man, or the Holy Spirit in man, you can run with that for 6 months easily, you know, because that's this. The whole point in this program is to help you understand the why of Christianity, why God does things the way he do, why do we have to do what we do, and today we're talking about why we have to watch our mouth. Amen. That was going to be the original title, but amen, this is really about speaking, because man is a different type of person. Amen. And we're going to get into that. I don't know how far it's going to go. It may be one day, maybe 10. I don't know. But whatever God decides, that's what I'm doing. Because one of the key factors in being successful in Christian life is do what God say do, how he say do, when he say do it. Amen. But let's go before the throne of grace and invite him in. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you because it is a great privilege and an honor to do so, because everyone don't get to do this, Lord. And we thank you, amen, that you're so high that if you didn't come down to us, we could not get up to you. But you in your loving kindness reached out to us, amen, and created a bridge for us to connect to you through your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus, for making that provision, because it cost you tremendously a great pain and suffering, even having left heaven to come down to earth. And then you kept your word and sent back the Holy Spirit to teach, to guide, and to comfort us through this journey so that we will make it to the end you desire, and we desire too. So, Father, right now we ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. By blessing us, blessing the eyes of our understanding even more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the great and exceeding power you've made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will, and continue to give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. And I say that and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, years ago, I remember I accidentally came across a teaching, amen, a teacher, amen, the Reverend Kenneth Copeland. And back then, people wasn't complaining because he probably had only two suits. But he was teaching faith. He was teaching faith as he does, as he lives now. He was calling it, as though it be, he called those things to be not as though they were. But people weren't complaining then. He had a little hoopty car that he was driving. See, this is the key of this is nobody, the people that I find that reject what they call prosperity gospel haven't heard the entire series. One of the major aspects about that was what comes out of your mouth. And that was a great awakening for me to hear that part of that message, because you know, prior to the, as they call it, the Word of Faith movement, there wasn't a whole lot of teaching on that issue. You know, you went to church and you barely remembered anything that was said. You remember the songs that were sang if you liked them, but you really didn't learn anything. And you really didn't learn about the nature of man, and that's critical. You know, it was almost as though, God does things by happenstance, but God is omniscient. You know, and there's no way he could not have a plan. Tells me they didn't ask. It's that simple. You know, it's really that simple. I mean, for hundreds of years, nobody asked what's your plan. They just read the Bible, said some prayers, and that's why we ended up with about 10,000 religions. That's really the truth. Because when you read the Bible, you don't find none of that in there. You know, when I first time I read the whole Bible, I only knew of one Baptist. Okay? You know, I mean, a lot of things people were calling themselves and saying, and then I noticed the characterization, and I noticed all the conflict between the different denominations, you know, critical of each other. When the Bible was very clear that that's a strict prohibition with the probability of you ending up in hell, and yet they did it anyhow, you know, not realizing that. And the key factor, and even in that aspect, was what was coming out of their mouth. Understand, God designed us specifically after his nature, you know. But look, I want you to read we want to go to Psalm 19, verse 14. That's going to be our headline scripture for this particular series or today's message, however it goes. And it reads as thus, and it said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, people argue over that part about it. Who's the redeemer? Because they have such a narrow view of life, okay? And I'm not going to get into all that. I may cover it in the future, but I've already covered it, you know, in the past, so you can go through some of my videos. They're labeled on YouTube. God is the Redeemer. He said in Isaiah 60:15 that he's the Savior. Now, people can argue that, but that's the word. But the thing here is what David is saying. He said, let the words of my mouth, which is critical, because if you know David's life, he had a challenged life. God called him to be a king while there was a king in office. And the king that was in office became jealous of David because he was easily manipulated by pride, which is one of Satan's key tools. And yet and still, rather, David kept his focus on God. And that's amazing, because that's one of the critical aspects about this life. You know, I'm not trying to deviate from where I'm talking, but I responded to a Facebook post today. And the question was, are people falling in love with each other? Well, according to the Bible, people don't fall in love. They choose love. And because, again, that area wasn't taught as well as it should have been, still in some cases today not taught. You can tell by the high divorce rate in the church that God is not the primary focus. Because when he is, all your decisions focus back on how is this going to affect my relationship with God. See, one of the key aspects about, again, prosperity is the provider, God. So I want to maintain my relationship with him. So I need to know how he stands on each and every issue. Now, the words that come out of our mouth are the same as God's. Okay? Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 so you can see what I'm talking about. And we're going to read a few verses here. We're going to start at verse 3. It says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 6. It says, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the firmament. Okay? And then it goes on to describe what happened, the firmament, the heavens. Amen. And then you drop down to verse 9, and it goes again. Then God said, see? And then you drop down to verse 11, and it says, then God said. Now, let's go over a chapter, Genesis chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Okay? Also, in the King James, it renders soul, suke, a thinking, comprehending person, because that breath of life came from God. And you see nothing that indicates that it had any less capability than God himself. Now, you can clearly, if you look at the time frame, even on this, which was roughly about 6,000 years ago, if God thought that we would immediately get it instantly, he would have made Adam, and then from then on, they would have just produced kids, and that would have been that, and we wouldn't be going through all these changes. But there's a factor that people tend to overlook, and I've even had heard people say to the point that they think God must have made a mistake. No, God fully knew that he would be the only God, and that's critical in that. See, again, I have to indicate that God is omniscient. We are cognition. God is omnipotent. We are cognipotent. God is omnipresent, and we are conipresent. That's a difference. God knows all. We are learning. God can do all. We are learning. God is everywhere. We are limited. So, you know, as I said before, Adam didn't know who Satan was. If he would have been omniscient, he would have known who he was, but what he was up to. The point of this is that God is thinking in terms of generations, trillions of years down the road. See, we have our own little perception of what we think is going to be without and ignoring the word. Because it really speaks at a level that most of us don't want to comprehend. Because it really then sets down that we have to recognize what our level of responsibility is. Mind you, this is leading up to, in the first next phase, of us ruling and reigning with Christ as kings and priests. Now, you're not going to have a bunch of kings and priests ruling and reigning over kings and priests, okay? Like Jesus is going to be ruling over them, us, all right? So then you got to look at what God is doing. So again, if you're going to be serving under God, as it says in Genesis, and they shall reign with him, in Revelation, matter of fact, because I knew we got some new, I just met a new person yesterday, and I don't want them to be in the dark on this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. I think verse 6 here. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start with verse 4. This is Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus Christ. That's coming up. Some people getting beheaded now. And for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast in his image, you know who that is. That's during the tribulation period. He had not received his mark on their heads. If you get left behind after the rapture, that's the cause it's going to be. But don't worry, because by the time the blade hits your neck, you'll be out of the body. Right at that moment, you won't feel a thing if you happen to get left behind. But I ain't getting left behind. And they listen at this now. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay? But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished, and then after it in the end of the chapter and verse at the white throne. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay. Now, there's not a total agreement in the entire body of Christ on this stuff, and I don't understand that, because I asked God about it. He got all the facts. It's his plan. All right. Now, my point here is that this is why it's critical for us to learn, and while you're at it, flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, for us to learn the way of God. Because if you're going to rule with God, you think about it. You go to work for a company. You work according to the owner of the company. You don't make your own rules. You don't go in there. You don't say, well, look, this is how I do, and you're just going to have to accept that and pay me anyhow. You're going to find yourself in an unemployment office because people do that. They really do that. Okay? And I'm read Deuteronomy 6 and 7, chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. It says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, take my word into priority. My words, my words, my words. Now, being that we are created beings, okay, in the image and likeness of God, the likeness aspect, if we get the image part, we see that in the mirror. The likeness is our behavior. And that's what that our behavior is what God expects for his people in his kingdom to do things the way he wants them done. Now, mind you, again, this leads to another aspect of how much authority and power you will have. Remember, I've taught some stuff, and I get silence and blowback from people when I talk about the teleport capability, because they don't, the wise one will do what I say, ask or suggest, and that is ask God about it. I can get you not just taking my opinion about it. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, 5-7, in all your ways, in all, it means all, it doesn't have two definitions, it means everything you do, acknowledge God and he shall direct your path. You know, so again, you don't want to stand before God and really probably doofus enough to think they can get off with blaming somebody else. Well, you know, the Pope told me that it was all right to pray to Mary. And he going to ask you, well, what does my word say? Which means, is it? You see here the emphasis. Why? Because the word will give you a godly response every situation. Because you want to respond in a manner that pleases God. See, and you know, words are critical. When we were growing up, they used to say this little rhyme, sticks and bricks will break by my bones, but words will never hurt me. See, that was a setup. See how slick the devil is? You got to understand, Satan has an IQ of 35,000, okay? Yeah, 35,000, that's the minimum. I don't, you know, and the smartest human is only 249. He's had 6,000 years to study the anatomy and the psychology of human beings. And we are, you know, you can be easily manipulated if you don't know the word of God. Because a lot of people think they're right and they are clearly wrong, okay? And it's going to come up. I'm going to leave that. I'm about to ask that. I was going to say something about the coming election, but I'm going to tell you better pray about it, because God's reaction this time is going to be quick and hard. I'm telling you, we are in a judgment zone, which is another reason for this particular topic, because this is the thing. Matter of fact, let's go to, we're just laying down a platform right now. We ain't got into so far what it is. Where God is going, that I know of, I can see right now this is going to be at least two sessions. At least two, right? Yeah, right. When I was doing Christ, I think it was 20 weeks, 15 weeks. Okay, amen. All right, Psalms 103, and this is a psalm to visit quite often. Amen. It's like Psalm 91, but it said, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now, we go back to our headline scripture, the words of my mouth. What comes out of your mouth, God's angels carry out the details and duty on that, the word of God. See, the one key that I learned was, if I don't know what to say, just shut my mouth. Don't say I don't know what to say. Don't say I don't know what to say. Say, Lord, I believe you for a revelation of what I need to do. Okay? You got to watch your mouth. You really got to watch your mouth. Don't say things like, I'm tired. I'm so tired of people. You know what? Satan can't read your mind. Okay? He can set up stuff to try to trick you in thinking that he can, but he really cannot read your mind. When you can think things that only God can know. Angels can't read your mind. Only person can read your mind is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, you want your words to be that which God can bring to pass. Okay? And again, the emphasis is not just so much as obtaining just the things that we want and need in this life, and that's all good because he's given us, I think 1 Timothy 6:17, he's given us all things to enjoy, and yes, that is enticing, but the essence, the primary objective of it all is for us to understand the likeness part of our being. And motivation comes from having things. It's just what Satan does is he perverts the motivation. He perverts the things. You know, again, I'm amazed. If you're one of them people with a garage full of stuff, you need to, you know what, give it away. Just give it away. Sell it real cheap. And clear out your garage. I mean, things you ain't used for 5 years, just have a garage sale, sell it. But if you don't want to take your family out to dinner, just give the money away or whatever you need. That's just another trick of the enemy. Because, one, you will make room for new stuff for God to bless you with. God is a very, frugal person. And he's not going to waste it. If you got a bunch of stuff just clogging up, I got some space. And I'm expecting some stuff. But now, this is where one of the areas, this speaking thing, is where Satan tends to get it. I'm trying to stay in line here, and praise God I'm doing it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus says some things about this thing. And this is, then, you know, again, like I said, when God talks, you just go with the program. But let me see here. Okay, verse 36. You know, I'm going to stay with this. Well, but now I want to read verse 34 because it's a critical statement that Jesus makes in the second part of that. Verse 34, let me get you on up to date on this, what he's talking about. He's talking to religious folk. You do not see Jesus speaking negatively to people that don't understand God, unbelievers, and people that are not in the leadership of Judaism back in that day. They had the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the really sad, you see. Those were religious groups that started what they called during the intertestamental period when Israel was in judgment, waiting on the Messiah to come, whom they rejected. But so he's getting on their case. You know, Jesus is very kind. Now, he might get on my case, so you new people, don't worry about it. He'll hug you and teach you at the same time. Okay, But in verse 34, the reason I told you that because what are you going to initially say? He says, brood of vipers. A viper is a snake if you don't know what it is. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, let me explain all this, okay? As when he said, out of the abundance of the heart, you know, I find that as I have loaded myself up with the Word of God and the knowledge of the revelation knowledge of God that he has given me, I respond accordingly. A lot of times when I probably would have cussed somebody out, I either said nothing or declared a blessing or attacked Satan because of that knowledge. And it's a process that you go through, and trust me, it did not happen overnight. And don't be down on yourself when you miss it. This is the process. Just ask God for forgiveness and go on. And if the demons try to make you feel bad about it later on, say, shut up, God forgave me. Okay, because they just lie like they do. That's what they do. All right? And now that's why he's talking. He said, good man. Out of the good treasure of his heart. Okay, the Greek word is cardia, which is the heart, but in actuality, it's talking about your inner being, the one that the University of Pennsylvania have clarified exists within you, even though we knew it from the word. They now have identified it with technology that it is a being inside of a body with a mind, will, and emotion. All right. So that's the word heart is always synonymous with your spirit, which is your intellect, which is the deepest part of you, which has everything you have learned since you came out of your mother's womb, believe it or not. But that's what it has. All right. Now, what you put in your heart is what's going to come out. It's like, the Hostess Twinkie. You squeeze the Hostess Twinkie? Well, you used to be able to. I don't think they put too much cream in them now with their cheap sales. Am I so greedy now? Anyway, you squeeze it and cream will come out. I'm a Suzy Q fan, actually. But anyway, my pastor liked to use that as an example. So you press it, and you're going to have what I call snap traps, or as the woman of God said, stack attacks. You know, after flat, your car got a flat tire, and then some person on their cell phone sideswipe your car while you're trying to change the tire and then an ignorant cop, not a good cop, you know, being hard-hearted, give you a ticket for being illegally parked while you're changing your tire, you know, after you didn't already be cussed out by your boss. So you hold it all in. And again, you want to prepare yourself with declarations that will set you back on track of what you believe God to bring to pass, you know. I'm just laying a foundation now, just getting started at this. It said, but I say to you every idle word. So it's a caution. Every idle word, non-productive word. And this is, You really want to be, you want to make sure, and speech writing, you know, giving speeches, you want to have your words. It ain't like preaching, because you could have a whole sermon wrote down and God would change the whole thing for you. But even at that, still, my life, my ability to minister now is the result of over 40 years of constant Bible study. Bible study when I wasn't doing anything. But still, the Bible allows you to invade the mind of God. I mean, I really wish it was that easy with everybody. You can go get a book and read and know all their habits and wants and dislikes, and it's not that way. You know, you had to learn to read people, so remember that. And it's really as critical in the area for those that are married. Okay, so you really want to pay attention to this. Now, and then he said in verse 37, say, by your words you will be justified, and for your words you will be condemned. Now, and this here really relates to when he talked about this particular judgment, isn't judgment day. Okay, it's actually the Greek word crisis. It's Christmas, spelled with a K, but it's about a crisis. It's a time of an event that, you know, you immediately a challenge. And having a prepared word, a response for that, you know, God will make this right, you know. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. So, you know, if I need a new car, I need a new car. I need a new car. Well, I want a new car. I don't really need a new car, but anyway. But that counts for everything. When you get that bill in the mail, you know, okay, that you weren't expecting, when they call them the surprise notices that they made a law against, the surprise doctor bills, you had to watch them bills, I'm telling you, too. They will try to be slippery about it because you got all them people that do the bills at the office be trying to fake up some stuff to get some money because they get paid out of that. But anyway, that's another old issue. But you can see here that he's making it a point of this critical about what comes out of your mouth. But and mind you, at this time, unlike us, they didn't have the word. Now, when we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, what they used to have back then were called phylacteries. And they would write a scripture on a piece of paper, and they put this little block that they made out of wood, and they tied to their wrist, and they memorized it. And then they go on to the next one. Because, again, we are to develop a character just as much as possible identical to God. Now, again, one of the benefits of this is so when you run into a critical situation, as I did in 2017 when they tell you you had cancer, you feel confident on your healing. Because a lot of people, that's another thing, a lot of people, their healing is hindered by what comes out of their mouth. Their condition manifests by what comes out of their mouth. And that is so critical. And it's amazing. For churches that don't teach a lot about this, you know, like Running for Christ and Word of Faith, they get it. But there are a lot of churches that don't teach. They even debate the issue, you know, as though it's the will of God for you to have cancer. Well, that is not John 10:10 by itself says that is it. So Jesus said, I come to give you life and that more abundant. But also, you have to accept the reality that God has an intended effort in this. He has a specific agenda. He has as he says in Jeremiah 29:11, an expected end. Okay? An expected end. Matter of fact, just for the benefit of the new people, I want to read that. Because you want to know, you want to be constant. I find that a lot of times people do not constantly think about God and what his plan is. And it reads as thus. It says, "For I know that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And that is a life where you won't have to get in a plane and travel to the Fiji Islands, to relax. You just teleport. It ain't no telling what God's got out there in the universe. And if God is expanding the universe, he doesn't does anything for nothing. And for us to be able to travel, I don't think we won't need to, like they try to show in these movies where they have to travel, be put to sleep and then travel for 75 years to get somewhere. You'll be able to teleport at the speed of thought. And, you know, it's really magnificent. I look at some of the James Webb telescope photos, and they're seeing things they never saw before. God knows everything. It says he called the stars by their names. So he knows what's out there and what they are. We just guess what they are. Hope we know what they are. Think. All right. So again, we want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. But this is conditional on how we conduct our lives, how we read. You know, and it's still astounding that I find Christians that have been Christians for 45, 50 years. I met one, been a Christian longer than I have, still don't read the word every day. Okay, but that came out of their mouth and then dealing with a negative situation. See, you got to remember you're an ambassador of Christ. That's another aspect. See, so my words and my actions are being viewed by heaven and him and God particularly, because I am telling God now what I would do at 100%. I'm not going to be able to tell God, well, you know, God, you know, I'm only human. You know, that's how you made me. No, listen. Christians have the Holy Spirit of God. It has a power that is greater than any other power in he has. Excuse me. He has the Holy Spirit. He has a power greater than Satan and his entire army. Okay? Otherwise, we'd all be dead. Okay, particularly the ones that pray every day and the ones that are trying to do the right thing. All right. So, again, God has an expectation that which is written. You see that in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Okay. But again, there's this aspect of that. See, I'm learning now because you're going to learn to use this power. That's the only way you can learn it is by experience, and that helps you in the future. And you find that with all your athletes. They practice. So you're going to get some practice. This is not heaven, and write this down. God let the devil exist, okay? He does the dirty work. He got kicked out of heaven because he didn't wait for God to give him an assignment. He usurped authority and took it upon himself to try. He was actually trying to take over heaven. That level of stupid, I don't even can't comprehend. But anyway, he exists. God could have extinguished him day one. He could have extinguished him, and there would not have even been a battle. Okay, but he had a plan. God can't teach you to lie or steal or cuss or do all these. Satan does. Now, let's talk about that aspect, because I find a lot of Christians, they Satan tricked them into, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Satan, again, he's had 5,000 years. I know you have four. Fair, this ain't baseball, okay? All right? So this ain't baseball. You need to remember that. Whew, man, I think I'm going to have to read that whole paragraph. Anyway, but this is Paul talking to the Ephesians. Now, again, we are basically the Ephesians, unless you've done one of them DNA tests that say you have a Jewish heritage. It's amazing how many people are finding out that they actually do based on their blood, because the Israelites were scattered throughout the world, and when men see beautiful women, some men, when they just see a woman, after a while, they don't care if she, anyway, they tag it, and that's so we all over the world, okay, and anyway. And so, but Paul is talking to some Gentiles. This is a Gentile nation in Ephesus over there in Greece area. But he's teaching them because, you know, their culture was different, much like ours is today. And the word fornication here, he said, but fornication, that's sex between two people who are not married to anybody. Okay? Because when you have one person is married, then it's adultery. All right? And it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. So you're a saint, okay? This is not the Catholic Church. This is God's church. That's their own thing. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Okay, and that's what I'm going to hit on there. Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, I call this air pollution. This is an eco-spiritual eco-training. See, and I understand it because I used to be a jokester. And you do it because, you just want to have a jovial environment, just feel good in a challenging situation. So you make jokes. And you can make jokes, but, I was watching earlier this Christian comedian, okay? Because some people take it to the limit that no joking, period, at all. No, I like how he said no coarse jesting, okay? I mean, even God is, I think that if God didn't have a sense of humor, a lot of us would be ink spots. One me particularly. But again, what Satan does, he try to pollute the air. Now, what this does, when he tends to do this, is when you have an expectation of being blessed in any area, he try to get you to delay your blessing by getting you to say things that allow him to act upon it. Now, going back to Psalm 103:20, it said the angel of the Lord respond to his word. Well, if the word that comes out is not of God, guess who responds to it? Okay? And Matthew, I believe, 18:10 said that you got an angel assigned to you that's always before God, okay, getting instructions and revelations for you if you'll be willing to listen. But you can imagine that Satan, who got kicked out of heaven with more angels than there are humans, that he assigned one to you. That's how he know your business. And so when you get, and see, they see on the other side of what's going on. They see in the spiritual realm. And one of the areas that I can relate to is in Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel was praying for the whole nation, and Gabriel was on his way with a word, and the prince of Persia or the principality demon over Persia blocked it. See, but now, as I don't think it was Daniel that was causing the blockage, but it was probably some of the children of Israel causing the blockage. Now, mind you, the Bible, the one thing I'll say just as an FYI, if you want a little more detail about what goes on, read the book of Jasher. You can download it free. But Daniel alone wasn't the only one praying. We know about Shadrach, Abednego, and the bad Negro. There was enough. God always has a remnant. I don't want to teach on that, but there's always that small group in every church, almost every church, including the Catholic Church. And I bring that out because a lot of Catholics just got it wrong. Pray for them. That's the only thing we can do is pray for them that they get it right. Satan don't want that because that's 950 million enemies that he would gain. Anyway, the point is that God always has somebody praying. But again, what pollutes the air is what stops the prayer. See, and this is critical because right now we just want to make it to the end, and that's what I'm trying. That's my ministry, just trying to help make it to the end. Okay, trying to help as many people as I can make it to the end and as easy as possible. You're going to have challenges, but, if you can develop the mindset to operate as God desires you to operate, he said if you delight in him, in Psalm 37:4, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, he'll show you the way to get them. Okay, now this is very something that people miss, that they need to understand that God will not break the law. So he's not going to counterfeit money. So he has to use the system that we designed and operate with that, all right? So if you want a C8 Corvette, which is the newest model, anyway, it's a little too tiny for me. I've been in one. show you how to get it. But you got to follow through. And even in the process, one of the critical things that you want to remember, because there's many aspects of that, but just as in, for this particular segment, you want to control your speech, because I guarantee you, in the process, that a demon would try to get you off track by getting you to say, particularly after it's been a while, it ain't gonna happen. I knew it wasn't gonna happen. It never worked out for me. See, he try to get you to say things for that. Like, you hear people say, well, I take one step forward and two step back. You know, when I first learned this revelation back in the 80s, I stopped saying that. Because who came up with that? The person that knows that it will work if you say it, and that's the devil, okay? See, he don't want you to say, I take one step forward, I wait, and get direction from God and take two more forward. I say win some, win some more. I don't say win some, lose some. See, I learned to change how I speak because, again, and this is, we ain't got there yet, but we're going to get there. You want to get you, they got the promises of God on the internet. You want to get scriptural promises to become part of your conversation, because that's what the angels carry out, the word of God, okay? And again, a case in point, when they told me I had cancer, I told the devil he was invading. I told cancer he was invading private property. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. When I gave my life to Christ, it belonged to Him. So he was invading, okay? I told him, I speak death. This is my phrase. Now, you might want to use it, you might not. But I'm like, I speak death to you, cancer, and life unto my body. And with conversation, we're going to cover that later. Definitely not today. But you want to say it until it's done. And many times, you don't have to holler either. You don't have to holler at all. You know, you can just whisper it. It'll get the job done. Been there, done that. I just recently had an examination. Ain't find nothing. Then I knew they wouldn't. I knew they wouldn't. You know, I got old age. That's about it. That's something. You know, but that's all right. That's only temporary, too. So, again, I want you to be conscious of, start thinking on these terms. And again, and I'm going to skip down to verse 8 in Ephesians 5, because Paul says something that is critical for remembering. He says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. And again, you know, when the God gave me the revelation that he is, I sat down, I went and bought a $2 Bible. That's all they cost back then in 1976, and read the whole thing. And I began to realize, I began to see that it was really incumbent upon me to build the relationship between me and God and to do what he say do, how he say do. I didn't even know how to express that, but I just knew that was critical. The challenge I had back then was, it was really still a lot of, quote, religious people that I knew. You know, I spend time around my mother, and I would watch her read the word, but, you know, the person that I really wish I had got to know was my grandfather, because he was a teacher of the word, and I had no idea how much that guy was on another level. He was higher than some pastors. He was known as the preaching deacon. And the Bible said that deacons should be apt to teach, even though they don't seem to let them teach too much these days. I don't know why that is. I'm not a pastor, but if I was, my deacons would be teaching somewhere, somehow. All right? So we just getting started in this, okay? We talked about the likeness of God. And just as a critical point right now, you want to say praises. You want to learn. Read the Psalms. You start reading the Psalms. Make it over the next 6 months to start reading the Psalms to learn. Psalms will teach you how to talk with God. Now, mind you, there are some things that David and them say that don't apply to us. Like, God will not take the Holy Spirit from you unless you are dying and on your way to hell. That's the only time that happened with Christians. Okay? David did have the Holy Spirit. He was one of the few that did. But during that era, there's some differences. But the most part, you can read the Psalms, and you'll see the constant communication between him and God. And you want to, and talking to God all day will help you keep right. Because I'm telling you, he will do things and show you things and make things happen for you that will encourage you to stay right with him. That's what I do. I mean, I know I'm always looking for blessings. I have an expectation. But there are other things that God can show you on a spiritual level that he will only show mature people. You know, they're not for general conversation. But at the same time, I find a lot of people struggle with the basic things. Like I said, people struggle with teleporting. They say, well, Jesus did that, but they didn't ask God. And it's pride to stop you from asking God. That's the only thing to stop. That's a spirit, pride. It stops you from asking God. But you want your word. You really want to be critical over them now and speak them, you know. Read Psalm 112 or 118 and speak blessings over your children. That's what will make them come to pass. And again, the fact that you're seeing the results will encourage you. And you don't want to hinder yourself by, see, what happens, you'll declare a blessing, and then the demon will try to slip in with one of them little snap traps. Right away, somebody cut you off in traffic. If you have to, just chew on your tongue or whatever. Just hold your peace, you know. But it's best to be prepared and have the mind. That's why it says in Philippians, let this mind, which is in Christ, be in you. That's a decision you have to make. But it gives you comfort. So when you do run into an extreme challenge, it won't seem extreme. The extreme will be your response to it according to the word of God. And again, you got a lot of words of promises in here. But you want to maintain your position of authority with God. And you do that by keeping it clean. And again, like I said, if you get out, I do it, you know, particularly it's like when I'm out in public or you will have situations where stuff will happen to you, you know. I have to fight sometimes not to call people idiots. The Holy Spirit has never convicted me on calling people phone heads for holding up traffic while they were looking at Facebook at a traffic light. And there you don't do that. But, you know, there are other names that people call. You know how it is. You know what people say out of their mouth. You know what you said out of your mouth. But again, it may seem innocent and harmless, but it opens the door for when something might. I mean, you know, some people, demons, what they do, like right now, people that are expecting their income tax check, and he'll use that as a reason to block it. There's something that's of a delay because he know you need it for a bill, but you just say it, and it gives him that. And if that's the case, clean it up. And once it's clean, it's clean. 1 John 1:9. All right, just clean. All right, we're getting started. And I'm looking forward to this because it went as I expected. You know, I spend time with God, and I love it, I'm telling you. And spend time with him because he'll tell you some things. And send me some email if you think he said something that everybody should hear. What my producer tell me, there's 130,000 people listening to this. So, you know, you wanna help the world. I read every email, and I'd be amazed. I was supposed to answer a question today, but I didn't get to it. All right? But, hey, man, this may be before the rapture, after the rapture, your first time listening to this message. To get into this place where your words have power of God, you need Christ. They were supplied by Jesus. All right? It is a simple process to receiving. And it is not based on what you feel, but based on what the word of God says, and you believe in what the word is saying. That's the start. And this also allows God to legally communicate with you. He doesn't have that authority if you haven't received Christ. That's critical. You know, he can try to circumvent by using other Christians to pray for you and possibly create the opportunity. But to make it easy, just say this prayer. Lord God in heaven, I don't know you, but I'm going to believe in you. And I've decided to trust you at your word. And according to your word, we were all born in sin. But you said you sent your son to die for our sin. And I believe that, and I receive that, and I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again, I am restored in fellowship with God. You know, that's amazing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, it's something, because I deal with people who are locked up with prison, and it's a blessing to be able to tell them that even though they might be doing life without parole, they're not going to hell. And God is like that. I mean, you look at some of the characters in the Bible, God is a forgiving, loving God. Amen. But anyway, know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week. Be blessed if the rapture don't come.
Oh, I like to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh, love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. Truth in me, you light up my heart with possibilities. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything.